Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here and be part of the show. Coming up next hour, Steve Fezzik, pregame.com, our weekly spot going around the NFL. Now, week 10, this stuff starts to get real when you get to the double digits. Week 10 of the NFL schedule coming up on Sunday and, of course, Monday. So we'll get to some of the big games and the spreads and the lines and all that coming up. My picks, guess the takes for week number 10, also to come in this show. And I will hit on the Phillies. Some news coming from Jason Stark of The Athletic in a couple minutes here. But we're talking a lot of Carson Wentz, a lot of Eagles tonight as we look forward to the game Sunday. I don't trust the Eagles on Sunday. They're better. They're favored. They should win this game. They're as healthy as they've been in a long time. Lane set to play. Alshon coming back. Miles Sanders set to play. This should be a lock for the Eagles against a Giants team that has beaten nobody but Washington this season. A Giants team was a quarterback that still turns the ball over as much, if not more, than Carson Wentz. A Giants team that hasn't beaten the Eagles since 2016. This should be easy. I should be talking about a blowout tonight. And yet my gut feeling is this is going to be a real, really difficult game for the Eagles to win. And I don't trust them to win it. 215-592-9494. And then when it comes to Carson Wentz, just ask Gary Myers there. Gary's, you know, covered the NFL for a long time. Written books about Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. I mean, the guy has seen great quarterback play, written about it, studied it. And I asked him, like, do you think Carson's going to change? You know, do quarterbacks change as their careers, you know, they're 5-6 years into their career. Carson 5 years in now as we were finishing this year. And in a sense, he said no. Quarterbacks are what they are. And unless you really want to make a concerted effort to be different, you're not going to be. And I don't think Carson is going to change. Do I think he'll have more success in the second half? I do, because I don't think he can have less success than he had in the first half in terms of passing efficiency and turnovers. But the mentality, the aggressiveness, I think this is who he is. We're going to have to deal with that as long as he's the Eagles quarterback. Al is in Glen Olden. What's up, Al?
Hey, yeah, I have to agree with you. You guys, not disagree with you, rather. I mean, this guy hasn't had a line. He had all the receivers out. I mean, every year he started quarterback for the Eagles, I believe, since 17. How many times have we missed the playoffs?
Since 17? Well, they missed his rookie year, and they've made the playoffs every year since, but he didn't get them to the playoffs in his third year.
He didn't get there in the third year?
Okay, no, Al, he was 5-6. He got hurt, and Nick Foles took him to the playoffs. I'm not going to count that for Carson.
He's a great quarterback.
Well, Al.
Come on, he sucks. Even the Bears know that, and they got a great.
You know, I'm not talking about Nick Foles, but Carson Wentz doesn't get credit for being under 500, and then the other quarterback comes in and they win out. Like, that wasn't Carson.
What is he for his career? Do you have any idea on that?
Who are we talking?
He's over 500, correct?
Carson?
Carson.
Yeah, what kind of bar is that? He was the second pick in the draft. Of course, he should be over 500.
Well, that's a lot of guys. You aren't over 500, first, second, third pick.
Yeah, but over 500 doesn't mean you're very good.
No, but they got a tough schedule this year. You got to admit that. They win that damn division, which wasn't especially last year, wasn't that good. Dallas was the only team we had to beat, pretty much. And this year's the same thing. So, every other game they have, you win the division, and then they get this rough schedule. I look at some of the other teams' schedules. They're playing, you know, horrible teams.
Well, it just rotates, Al. It's just, you know, it's not a – no one picks the schedule. The schedule's based on who you – your division, who your division's playing, the teams you – you know, it's just a rotating schedule. It's just where you finish in the standings versus other teams where they finish. It's not like it's a slight.
I thought the first place teams seem to get the wins of division gets a harder schedule.
Yeah, they do. Right. They do. So they won the division last year, so they have a first place schedule. But the first half of the schedule was not hard.
Right. Now, while they had Baltimore
and Pittsburgh, yeah.
And they were right in that game to the end. They had the Rams. They played them pretty tough for a while. And I don't know
sure.
what happened to Dan. But,
I mean, they just weren't as good as Baltimore and Pittsburgh. So you feel good about Carson?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, we get the, you know, Alshon Jeffries, if he learns to throw to him. Now, he was too cautious, I thought, in the beginning of his career. This guy's got to go get the ball, too. Sometimes, we had a lot of rookies, receivers, and guys that weren't experienced or that played so much anyway. They were hurt all the time. I mean, I love DeSean Jackson in his younger years, but that guy looks like he's just looking for a payday now.
Oh, it's over, yeah. I mean, I think his career is probably over. So, well, that's good. I mean, I'm glad you have some optimism about Carson. He's got to be better because the first half he was not good.
It wasn't great. No, it stunk. I agree with you, but I mean, if we'd have won one of those games, the Steelers game we were in the whole time too, undefeated.
Yeah.
Baltimore's like 6-2, 7-2, whatever they are. They're a good team.
Yeah, they're excellent, but they really and Al, I appreciate they really weren't in that game. The Baltimore one feels like revisionist history. The Steelers game they were in, until the end. The Baltimore game they went down. They were and I think the fourth quarter started was 24-6. Game was over. Like that, I think that one we've created in our minds. Like we've created a competitive game against Baltimore. It really was not.
But if they do get that 2-point conversion, though.
Yeah, but then they make the comeback, right? They come all the way back.
Right. I mean, like I agree.
But the game
was a close game, and it is revisionist history. But it was close. Like they didn't make them sweat it out.
Yes, and they kept fighting, and Carson deserves credit for that. I just like the Steeler game's the one. Like if you want to point to one game this year where it's like okay. See, there is something there. They can compete. Because I thought that was one of his better games, if not his best game this year. I mean, he threw the ball well that day. That was the one day I sat there and said, he keeps throwing good passes. Like, he's throwing the ball well. Most of the season, he has not thrown the ball well. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, let's jump to the Phillies for a second here. As, you know, for a team that fired their general manager, a couple weeks ago, actually more than that. Are we in a month now since Klentak is canned? Over a month, maybe. Because the season ended for the Phillies last weekend of September. I believe the next weekend or the next week, Klentak was out of here. Here's what we're dealing with right now. And I'm going to give you two pieces of information. And one, I think, pretty significant. And then we're going to throw this commentary in the middle. So, I woke up this morning. And I always read our buddy Todd Zalecki, who we had on a couple nights ago. Of MLB.com. Listen to this from a Todd Zalecki piece that I read this morning. This is a quote. Ready? It was a Q&A, right? So people are sending Todd Zalecki some questions here, and he's responding. And this one's about who's making the decisions this offseason. I almost fell out of my chair this morning. I'm trying to have a cup of coffee, and I read this. Yeah, this is a quote. Yes, Matt Klentak is not the GM anymore, but he remains with the organization as an advisor. Some combination of John Middleton, President Andy McPhail, interim general manager Ned Rice, and Klentak will be making the offseason decisions. Like, are we kidding? Like, just like play circus music over like every time we talk about the Phillies, if that's the case. Circus music. That Klentak is still involved in decision making? So that got me off on the wrong foot this morning. So, okay, that's this morning. This afternoon, Baseball Tonight podcast, there has been a sense out there that, you know what, maybe the Phillies aren't going to hire someone. They're going to punt on this offseason. But don't you guys worry. They're going to get Theo Epstein next year. Don't you worry. No big deal. They're getting Theo Epstein. We'll just wait a year. Theo Epstein, of course, still in Chicago. But everyone seems to think Theo is done with the Cubs after this year. So I'm listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. Buster Olney and Jeff Passan are having a conversation. And they start discussing, like, what's going on with the Phillies here? And then the idea of Epstein comes up. Listen to this conversation about the Phils Epstein, the odds of it happening. It's a couple minutes. Stay with it. It gives you a picture into how nonsensical the whole idea of Epstein actually coming here is.
It's almost like they're just letting it ride. And there's a lot of confusion around the game when it comes to what the Phillies are doing, too. Because, it, you know, when you go out and sign Bryce Harper to a $330 million contract, it's almost the expectation that you are going to build around him. And when you have somebody like Alec Bohm coming up and doing what he did last year, it's like the Phillies are close. You know, they've got Nola, too. They've got Zach Wheeler, too. I almost wonder, Buster, if they're just going to lay low and start sniping relief pitchers as the market gets flooded and as the prices go down. And if that's part of their offseason strategy to take advantage of all of the arms that are going to be out there and rebuild a bullpen that was absolutely disastrous.
But the part that's confusing, and I agree with you, that definitely would be a strategy where you could follow. But the part that I wonder about is, okay, who's implementing that strategy? And whose strategy is that? And is that person going to be in power a year from now? Because, of course, Andy McPhail heads up baseball operations there.
Yep.
It's pretty clear he's leaving after next year. Matt Klentak was just sort of shoved to the side. Ned Rice is overseeing things in their front office. But it's not absolutely clear that he's going to be the vision for the team in 2022. And why not pick that guy now? When you have all these, you know, there have been some questions about, well, is this an effort on the part of the Phillies to save some money, which would be insane.
Yep.
Because, you know, the amount of money you'd spend on the incoming head of baseball operations relative to the value of the decisions that are being made right now, the cost, it's not even close. And it's why one baseball executive said to me, what the Phillies are doing this offseason is very small-minded.
Yeah. I mean, are they waiting out Theo Epstein? I don't think so. Like, I have not gotten any impression that if Theo Epstein leaves the Cubs after this upcoming season, which is the expectation that he's going to be jumping back into to a baseball job at any point. He might not. But going back to the Phillies, it doesn't have the emotional resonance of doing it in Boston. It doesn't have the emotional resonance of doing it in Chicago for the first time in 100 years.
Do you hear that at the end? They're laughing at the idea of Theo Epstein coming here. Laughing. And really, no one around baseball understands right now what the Phillies are doing. The Angels hired a new GM away from the Atlanta Braves. Today, the Marlins hired the first female general manager in Major League Baseball history, Kim Ng. She's going to take over the Miami Marlins now. So, I mean, people are making moves. People are uprooting during a pandemic. They're doing things. Okay? So today we have the idea that maybe Klentak's still involved in decision-making. Then you hear that where they're laughing at the idea that the Phillies could wait a year and then get Theo Epstein. I think we're being sold a bill of goods on that. He's not coming here. But I do have some good news for you before we go to the phone lines. 215-592-9494 to react to the clown show that the Phillies are right now. So Jason Stark tonight, and I always feel like, you know, where we get this information matters. Jason is a great source. So Jason Stark of The Athletic. Not Jason Stork, Jason Stark of The Athletic. It's made up. He's a new writer. The Athletic's new
delivers
writer.
Good news.
Yes, right. Newsbreaker Jason Stark is actually Jason Stork delivering great news. Anyway, Jason Stark of The Athletic tonight put up a piece, good piece, long piece. Headline: Phillies front officer shifting to interview stage. Sources. Okay, here's the gist of it. The Phillies have begun contacting people, and they're going to actually interview executives next week. How about that? Phillies going to get going right for Thanksgiving here. There are 3 weeks of plans being a mystery. It now feels like they have a lot of, quote, a lot of balls in the air. According to industry sources from Jason Stark, the Phillies are focusing on hiring a new president of baseball operations while leaving their GM opening on the back burner. That would mean McPhail's going home. If they hire a president, McPhail's going to leave, which it seems like he wants anyway. They're looking for a Joe Girardi of the front office, which means that they're going for a big fish or a big name. An official of one club, the Phillies contacted, suggested their list includes at least some of the candidates recently connected with teams such as the Mets and the Angels. Names like Chris Antonetti with the Indians would be a great hire. David Forst of the A's, another good idea. Those names are maybe in there. Middleton did not comment for the story. This was interesting. Numerous sources across the industry say that for weeks, three of the Phillies' most esteemed advisors, Pat Gillick, Terry Ryan, and Charlie Manuel, have been gathering names that would fit into a larger list of potential candidates. But if it stalls, they could backtrack to a GM search. Look, it seems like they are getting off their butts. That's the most important part of this article. It seems like they're going to get off their butts and try to hire someone. I did not get the feeling, though, that it's a definite. Like, they could still backtrack and do nothing. It's very strange. The Phillies do a lot of bizarre things. This offseason is maybe the most bizarre. Like, even this, where, yes, they're going to start interviewing people, but there's not even a concrete that they're actually going to hire someone. What are they doing over there?
Do they even know? I mean, genuinely, like, do they know what they're doing? I go back and forth on this a lot because John Middleton's a successful businessman. I don't think John Middleton is a buffoon or a doofus or anything like that. He clearly is successful, and he's a smart guy. But when you do stuff like this, I wonder if they just don't know what they're doing. Right? Like, Andy McPhail, talk all you want about how horrible his track record's been for 30 years. He's at least been around baseball for 30 years. Like, yep. He should know how these things work. Right? This isn't like they hired, like, when the Sixers hired Elton Brand. He was in over his head. If they made stupid moves, you could say, well, he doesn't really know what he's doing. The Phillies have a guy in their front office with 40-plus years of front office experience. They have Pat Gillick advising, a Hall of Fame front office guy advising this. And they just act like they've never done this before.
So I'm beginning to question just how much money the Phillies are bleeding. And then here is why this is my theory now. So look, part of that article was the Phillies probably aren't going to sign Real Muto, right? That discussion is really stalled in a significant way, and it seems like he's going to move on. Now, Stark didn't say he's not coming back, but that's the tone I got from it, that people around baseball think Real Muto's out of here. Last night we had Howard on. Howard said if they don't re-sign Real Muto, he's heard they're not going to reinvest that money. We played the clip for you of Jeff Passan saying maybe they're going to wait out the market and sign relievers who can't find a job, like, you know, use the market inefficiency in their way. Like, there's good relievers, no one wants them, they'll pluck them up at the end. And although president of baseball operations is not a $100 million cost, you know, it's a cost. It's millions of dollars per year to lure someone really smart to run a team. Maybe they're really bleeding money to the point where they're just buying time to see if we're going to have fans in the stands next year, to see if the vaccine is a real thing that's going to come and be a part of all our lives. Like, could we be at the point where the Phillies don't know what they're doing or can't pick a plan because they don't have, like, operating dollars? How sad would that be? A few years ago, this team signed a player to a $330 million deal, and now every move they make is guided by a buck here or there. It's a problem. I mean, this is, and the, when the offseason starts, like, here's the thing. They're interviewing people maybe starting next week. Free agency already began. This is going to be a slower offseason because of the pandemic. I get that. But this whole thing already started. Other teams have put together their game plan. Okay, we're going to go after player A, player B, maybe trade for player C, sign player X. How are the Phillies putting together a game plan on their offseason if they don't even know who's in charge of their baseball team? Like, there's a chance that maybe McPhail and Klentak and Rice and Middleton have, like, they've created a plan. This is our blueprint for the offseason. And then next week they interview someone who wants the job and they like him, and that guy says, no, we're throwing this blueprint out. This is what you should do. Like, how is that a way to run a team? It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And the other part about it that is interesting, I'll say, is the word. Does anyone else find it odd that they've been getting ripped for 3 weeks here, nationally, locally, and now all of a sudden they're putting out, you know, they're putting out some feelers that they're going to have interviews? It's very, very curious that after doing nothing for weeks and kind of saying we might not do anything, they're getting destroyed for it on WIP, getting destroyed for it, you know, on a national podcast, national columns by Buster Only. And now they're going to wake up here? Now they're going to do something? 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Your reaction to all that on the Phillies and the Eagles. Do you trust the Eagles to win this game on Sunday? I don't. They're better. They're favored. They're healthy. And yet I don't trust them. We'll talk Eagles and your reaction to all this Phillies front office stuff. Right here, 215-592-9494 at Sports Radio 94 WIP. And hey, it's Joe Giglio. There's $1,000 up for grabs every single week with the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pickup. Sign up today at radio.com/picks and just pick the winner of each week's games. No point spreads, no lineups, and totally free to enter. It's a brand new game every week of the season. So sign up right now, and you've got a shot to win $1,000 this week. Make your picks at radio.com/picks. It's the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. Rules for this nationwide contest available at radio.com/picks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!